Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Well, no one will ever claim that I have a flatlined program, because today's show is certainly full of diversity. In fact, I'd like to welcome in the studio Dale Leeson from Serendipity Metal. How are you, Dale?
Great, thanks.
Good, and he's got his fan club with him, by the way, part of the business. His mother and his daughter are also in the studio, and we'd love to have that kind of convergence, because this truly is a family business that we're talking about. Well, Dale Leeson has the soul of an artist. Whether creating food carvings, drawing and painting Halloween scenes for the haunted house he and his family love to put up every year, or just doodling for the fun of it, he loves to keep his hands busy by creating. So when the opportunity presented itself to start his own business working with a new media, namely metal, he jumped at the chance to invest in a CNC plasma table. For those of you who might not know what this is, I'm the engineer coming out of automotive. This is really one of the granddaddy of technology toys for metal workers. A native of California and longtime resident of Tucson, Dale's career experiences including driving a mixer truck for the Cemex Corporation and being a driver and a warehouse supervisor for Coca-Cola. Serendipity Metal today is a true family business, with Dale's wife Michelle and six children pitching in with designs, as offered also by neighbors, co-workers from his 9-to-5 job, friends, and prospective clients. In fact, it's thus a custom business, and while Dale doesn't mind making the cookie-cutter stuff, as he calls it, what really fuels his passion is creating custom pieces for anyone who is looking for something really unique. He takes great pride and finds true joy in the finished pieces, but it's really all about the process from start to finish, in particular his clients' satisfaction in something they can be excited about to display in their homes or their businesses. And I'll be very transparent, because first I want to acknowledge and thank Dale for the lovely work you've done for my husband, Ted, and I.
Oh, no problem.
In fact, you can go out on his website, serendipitymetal.com, and you'll eventually get to the logo for Hat Creek Tea, Ted's business, that he did a raised hat, a creek, and a tea, the actual logo in metal, on a huge piece of slate that's posted outside our office, and then also the logo for Circles of Change.
Yes.
So versatility is the name of the game.
Absolutely. We can take just about anything and create it into a metal piece.
That's great. Well, how did it come about that you'd take this leap, because I assume it was, to invest in something as capital intensive as a CNC plasma table?
Well, my father-in-law had brought this idea to my wife and I, and we started to research it and look into it online. And then we went to, I think it was Highland High School up in Gilbert, and they have one in their ag department. And when we saw the machine go and move and cut out this object, that we just had no idea what it was going to do. And when it came about, we were just in awe. We were like, wow, that is amazing. And then all the ideas started coming.
Just flowing.
Yeah, just, and I mean, it's been, since then, it's been about 3 years. And my brain hasn't stopped. I mean, it's every day it's something new, something different. Friends, neighbors, family, coworkers, they all come up to me. Oh, you could do this or you could do that. It's just a lot of fun.
Which I think it's a lot of fun, but it's probably also a manifestation, perhaps, that maybe we all aren't letting our creative minds go as wild as we certainly did when we were kids.
Yeah. I mean, I used to draw a lot more when I was a kid and do things like that. One of my uncles is a really good artist, and he helped me, you know, cultivate that.
And my guess is you were not the kid that liked to color in coloring books. You were always outside the lines.
Yeah, I guess I was.
Yeah, mom is sitting here nodding yes in the background. She knew that. Well, the concept, though, of investing, and again, you might want to, again, for those who aren't conversant in the technology, what is a CNC plasma table? Take us from the process.
Well, it's computer numeric cutting is what the CNC stands for. And the table itself knows where to go when it's connected to the computer. What kind of device you put on there, you can put a rotary tool and do carvings out of wood, plastic, different things like that. But I have a plasma cutter connected to it, and it's amazing to watch it
In fact, you've got a couple YouTube videos up on your site, so people can indeed go to Serendipity Metal and see this magical piece of equipment work. I'd also comment for those who frequently listen to our show, one of our sponsors is Abbott Taylor from Abbott Taylor Jewelers. And Abbott made the jump into the CNC world so he could take his jewelry design, although he's working on a much tinier scale, but he's able to do things with diamonds that he never could have done before had he not had the assist from the computer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so precise. I mean, it goes right down to the... I don't even know how far down it'll go down the scale.
But, you know, some artists would probably, you know, sniff and snort and say, oh, but you're not the purest of an artist because you're using a computer. How do you answer that comment?
Well, that's fine if they want to say that, but it all starts with the drawing.
Yeah.
And so I'm just taking it to the next step of where I want it to go. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody wants something cut out of metal, but if they do, I can do it.
And also, there's not too much you can't do. I mean, I get the sense, at least the times I've watched you and my husband Ted collaborate, it's one of those, well, sure, we can try that.
Oh,
or,
absolutely.
Yeah, no problem, I can do that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so much fun to go through and just try things. I mean, I've got buckets of scrap next to my table of fails, you know,
although Picasso would say that all great artwork comes from the failures. So are you also one that hasn't thrown away any of that scrap because there might be something there to kind of emerge eventually?
It's all next to my table.
Yep, that's right. I got your daughters nodding. Yep, that's exactly what the table looks like. Well, and that's common for Ted, of course, in his knife-making mm-hmm. business, is this idea that sometimes the design isn't so linear from start to finish, that there's this pause or this parallel path where something you put off to the side and you say, I don't really know where this is going to be, can somehow come back into the design.
Right, right.
Well, I'd like to back up a little bit and know that you haven't always been working in metal, but thank you very much to your father-in-law that inspired or kicked that spark. But we have in front of us a book also of the carvings you did with food.
Oh, yeah.
and this goes back to just liking to work with your hands.
Yeah, I was in the restaurant business before Coca-Cola for over 10 mm-hmm. years. And I was working at, some of you who are from around here, Tequila Mockingbird used to be at the Alcon Mall. I had a chef that worked there, and he showed me once how to make a palm tree out of a carrot and a bell pepper and a duck out of an apple.
Okay.
And that's where that started. One year for Christmas, my in-laws bought me a book that had a bunch of pictures and how to do different things. And since then I've just kind of made watermelon wishing wells and kiwi songbirds and stuff like that.
Isn't that funny? It's just like when we gave our son an origami book because he used to sit at the restaurant as a kid and be folding paper, and we thought, well, let's try this. We hand him the origami book, but in typical Jake fashion, he goes right to the end of the book and folds right out of the chute one of the most complicated, you know, Mikado bird parrots.
Well, that's half the fun.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I'm not going to make the hat, please, and go right to the other end. And so now to see, and I know what was playing out, is we just suddenly realized that he thinks in 3D, mm-hmm. and you can manage that. And I assume, were you to ever get tested, if that's something that can be tested for, we'd find out that's what you do, too.
Very possible. I mean, I like the some of the things that I do make out of metal and other things are in a sense 3D. I like to make puzzles, like the dinosaur puzzles that you make out of wood. I make those out of metal also. I've got a picture of that on my website and stuff like that.
Very good. But you know, Dale, it's one thing to have this craft and this skill and talent and passion around it. It's another thing to actually base a business in this space. And I think you and I talked about, and you'd admitted you're not much of a reader, but that the book, The E-Myth,
yes.
really hit you. Tell us about that.
Well, you know how mom makes you do things that you don't always want to do?
Oh, yeah. And mom's smiling here in the studio, by the way.
Mom handed me a book, and she said I had to read it. And so I said, all right, I'll read it. So I started one day, and it took me about a week to read the whole book. But for me, I mean, that's great. My wife reads a book in hours and takes me weeks. But and at the end of it, I was just amazed at where my mind was. I was at the point, like in the book, they talk about franchising and how McDonald's got started and all that. And I was ready to franchise a business that I had just barely started. So, I mean, it really got me going.
I think the other piece that you and I talked about is the one big caution the book puts out in front of you, for particularly artists and creative people, is to realize that you know, your business is running the business, not just doing the business.
Correct.
So do you find yourself at crossroads sometimes where you realize, oh, I got to take care of the accounting or planning the marketing of this or the website, when really you just want to go work at the table?
Yeah, all the time. And I think I do spend more time at the table than I do on the other things. I've got my mom to help me out with some of that. But right now it's so small and on such a small scale that it's not too bad. So I'm able to focus on...
And watching for those traps that could hold you up.
Yeah, I know they're there.
But I think the other thing we'd say in the progression of people who are solopreneurs and starting out their own business or maintaining it or growing it is there comes a point in time where you know you've got the confidence you can start delegating those things to other people.
Like I have, out of the kids that I have at home, I have five at home. My oldest son, Ryan, who's 18, and my daughter, who's 17, they both, if I needed to do something in the house on the computer, I mean, I could send them out to the garage and they could run the machine start to finish and do whatever. Anything that I can do on the table, they're learning how to do.
Gee, I thought you were going to tell me you were sticking them with paying the bills and taking care of the accounting.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, that's after their college years or what might come
next.
That's right. But I think, you know, that's a really, really important thing to realize, but to see your creative juices kind of taking flight here. Well, we actually met you first at the Arizona Horse Expo back
yes.
in January, and I think you'd, how long had you had the table up until that point?
About a year and a half. Yeah,
okay.
About a year and a half.
So the idea of letting your customers drive where your business wants to go, what's your feeling about that? I mean, the custom work that's
I actually
you.
Love that part of it. You know, I mean, I have ideas and kind of like Emith says, you know, you'll decide what area you want to work in, but your customer's really going to tell you what you do. And that's truly been the case. I mean, I have people wanting all kinds of different things. With Ted, we've got a couple of signs that I made. I mean, one was Alan Martin's signature, you know. I mean, that was kind of interesting. I never even would have thought of that.
This was an artist here in town, of course, who's been featured with many books and paintings, and there was a display. And, of course, if there's anything priceless to painters and to artists, it's their signature.
That's correct.
So we had Dale make that so we could put it right on the table as he was indeed signing books right nearby.
Yeah.
And there was a real powerful metaphor in that one about grabbing artists.
Yeah.
To
and
make their signatures.
You know, I enjoyed that. That was the first time I really met Alan. He got a real kick out of what I was doing, you know, and to see somebody who does art like he does and him have that saying, ooh, I really like what you do. I mean, it gave me a boost. It felt really good.
Well, particularly because you're on a trajectory. I think the other side of it is, you know, I think there's one thing books like The E-Myth and others will caution you about, too, is to not think you got to have it all planned out right when you start. Because otherwise you might cut off the real path you're destined to go on.
Very true, very true. I've come up with some ideas and other things, and I've had other ideas come to me that I never even would have thought of, or not that I, not positive.
Can you give me some another example?
I have a friend who has a pressure washing company, and he told me about these stencils that they lay on the ground. It has all their company information, sometimes their logo, it just depends. And then they take their pressure washer over it and they pull it up and it leaves a business card.
On people's driveways?
Yeah,
or wherever.
Or businesses. It's
okay.
So they can have the wow factor of the demonstration. And then after they're done, whether they get the job or not, they just spray it off and it's gone. But I never would have thought of that. But there it was. And I've sent, I think I have about four of them across the country now. Where I've done them for other companies, Alabama, Texas.
Wow, to make these big templates because mm-hmm. the plasma cutter can accommodate those big pieces.
Correct. Yeah, I can cut 4 feet wide and I can index through up to 20 feet.
20 feet, wow.
Yeah.
So where else are these plasma cutters used? Actually, all sorts of industries then, right?
Most ones that I've seen have been with metal companies. And I have a friend who has a metal company, and he has the same table I have. And matter of fact, one day my table was broken, and he let me use his.
Need some backup.
Yeah, great. It was really good. So.
Now, the designs phase of this that starts the whole process out then, Dale, are you a paper and pencil design guy, or
yes.
You are, and then you eventually convert it then into AutoCAD or whatever version is conversing.
Yeah,
with the computer.
PlasmaCam is the machine that I have, and the program they have is an AutoCAD based machine, and so I can take a picture and scan it in, and then convert it into a file. PlasmaCam file.
Wow. And I would say no fair, because, you know, myself being a mechanical engineer from the 70s, and to think what we went through, you know,
yeah.
for all that drafting and mechanical drawing and although it's sure, like my previous guest Joni would tell you, is you can't skip cursive writing, or in your case, you can't skip the paper and the pencil.
Right.
Because that's really where the soul of the design is going to come from.
Correct.
Or Joni would say the soul of us. You know, in terms of our own handwriting.
Right. You can, and you also can draw things in the computer, but it's not the same. You know, it's very mechanical feeling.
So what have been some of your biggest surprises or ahas as this business has been evolving in front of you?
Ahas. Hang on a second.
I gather one of them is that your idea machine is like running on overtime.
Yes.
Or have you always been that way?
Well, I kind of. But ahas would be, I think it would be when I started putting the heat with the blowtorch to the material, because at first it was just like spray paints, and I mean, some of my first pieces were just, I mean, I look at them now and go, that was lame.
But you had to start somewhere.
Absolutely, and everybody has to start somewhere. But then when I took a blowtorch and I heated up the first piece of material, and I was like, ooh, I can get 10, 12, 13 different colors out of this, and I don't have to do anything special to it.
Other than heat, yeah.
Right. I just, you know, and I've learned to work the heat around and stop it and start it and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun, though.
So that's another technique you've added beyond, obviously, the straight design and cutting.
Right.
Is then that appearance.
And some welding. I mean, I'm not a welder by trade or anything like that, but I have a little wire feed welder, and I weld some things that stand out, like your logo. The Z and then the circle around stand off the material. And that's a lot of fun. You know, it adds another element.
Well, and again, for those of us that come from different backgrounds, I still can remember the first time my father had me learn how to weld. And I'm grateful that he did. How'd this go? Now, actually, I first learned to weld when I was working at General Motors as a summer intern. And they started me right out of the chute doing heliarc welding, which at the time was one of the most sophisticated forms of welding, not the boilerplate things. So when my dad took me into the garage and said, I need to teach you how to weld, this is within my engineering curriculum, and I said, well, you know, Dad, I already have. And we laughed about that.
That's funny.
But it's a whole nother set of skills and hand-eye coordination.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Opens up vistas for you, as you said, as you want to go 3D.
Correct.
Or some of the dimensionality you want to give to your work.
Right. Well, and some of the size projects that might be coming up could be making panels and then welding them all together on site. So that could, you know, it's another avenue that I'm learning.
Exactly. Well, you know, there are metal sculptures and then there's metal sculptures. You know, and there's really a distinction between works that I think are art as opposed to just placeholders. Also, with the movement on recyclability, on sustainability, mm-hmm. and green homes, the whole use of metal is something new now, particularly with water reclamation and how do you make sustainable homes look appealing. So I would think there might be a whole nother place for you to go with your skill set, too, in that area.
That would be another one that I haven't thought about.
Oh, he's making a list here, folks. Aslews. Well, you know, the idea of working in metal, now you're working with steel right now, correct?
Correct.
And any thoughts about, you know, blended alloys, or could you do this with aluminum if you need?
I can cut in aluminum. It's not as clean of a cut. And I also want to try copper. I think there's definitely an avenue for that.
There's a lot of furniture applications I know
yes.
popular here in the Southwest,
yes.
the aging of the copper look of furniture.
Yeah, I haven't had the money to go out and buy copper to practice with. You know,
yes, that's right, particularly the prices are
yeah,
bad.
It's not
but you
exactly
might find
cheap.
Somebody else who's got scraps of it in their buckets, right, that you could
right,
take
yeah,
advantage of, maybe do blended designs.
Yeah, I just need to figure out who has scraps.
There you go. Did you hear that? Anyone out there who's got copper scraps? Dale Leeson would like to be contacted, and again, I'll give you Dale's contact number is locally 520-954-9516. If you've got a design project you'd like to take on, a decorative one, and you can also look at the wonderful array currently that's constantly building on his portfolio on his site at serendipitymetal.com. Dale, the opportunity to learn additional art techniques or hand-eye techniques, anything in your repertoire you feel, gee, I really need or would like to get additional training in? Is that ever? Or is this kind of trial as you go?
Most of it's trial as I go.
Nice.
I would like to, and I have thought about taking a welding class, you know, because there's different, I mean, like right now I just do wire feed welding, but, you know, there's oxyacetylene, there's arc welding,
yep.
TIG welding, MIG welding.
It's all there.
It's all there, exactly. And so I've thought about doing that. It's just finding the time.
Yep, amongst other things. Well, let us go back then to the book, The E-Myth, and here you are as a solopreneur building your business. If you had a room full of people that are starting out with that idea, what's some of the advice you'd give to them right now?
There's an old saying that do what you love and you love what you do. Unfortunately for that is I didn't know that I loved working with steel. And so, you know, I mean.
It might have been right in front of your nose.
It could have been.
But a watermelon was a safe place to start then.
I think so.
That's
so,
right.
But, I would just say, you know, do something that you really want to do and enjoy it. Have fun with it. Because
I think the other thing is, of course, you still have another job that's
that's
in place to support your family. But this is also kind of an adjunct that's allowing you that additional, both a place to, you know, pursue the things you love as well as the financial resources to build.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to balance the two, but it's there. I mean, I do this out of my house. And so, you know, I don't want to keep the neighbors up all night. So
that's
I have
right.
to. Pick a time to cut it off.
I think the other side of it for those, because of course my husband and I are in this similar mode, a few things we're involved in, is the role modeling that you're doing for others, particularly those children that you've got. Boy, there's no stopping the impact that could have for them later in life.
Yeah, and you know, we weren't sure how it was going to affect our family life. You know, if
sure.
it was going to take me away from it or whatever. But it's really brought the family a bit closer together with the kids coming out, and they want to watch, they want to see what Dad's doing, and then they want to do what Dad's doing. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that
or
way
even
too.
The chances you've done trade shows and fairs and the like. It's an event that can take everybody.
Yep.
And my guess is, as we'd say elsewhere in our show, motivated abilities. You'll see which one of your children have got the salesman and the marketeer. You know, they're going to inspire people and point people in your direction, too.
Yes, and most of them do, even
yep.
right down to my 9-year-old.
That's great. Don't you love it? Well, Dale, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change. I really wish you well. Keep being creative, and I'm sure we've got another 3 projects we're going to probably send your way.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.